Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your Yarn Encircled the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM Bumabip Midi, 98.7 FM. We go across the country thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your Zabo call us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the deadly country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your saying yarn up strong. Yes, mob, we are running in a different world at the moment thanks to COVID-19, and it's about being flexible to what's in place. There's no vaccine for the virus, so adhere to the rules and we will see light at the end of the tunnel. But the fantastic news for the recreation boating back in New South Wales, that's good news. And the Boating Industry Association, BIA, today welcomed the relaxation of restrictions on recreational boating in New South Wales following encouraging signs of containment of COVID-19. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Neil Patchett, General Manager of Policy and Advocacy, Boating Industry Association LTD, on the line. We've got Neil. Very good morning, Neil. How are you?
I'm well, Trevor. How about yourself?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. Yeah?
Oh, look, it's good news. Good news for the boating industry that reaches across Australia and employs hundreds of thousands of people from, you know, boat builders and shipwrights, electricians and carpenters, marine mechanics, right through to, you know, the top end and side end and all the rest of it.
So sure.
It means a lot for people in largely small businesses across the country, and that's a good thing, because some people think about boats as just being all the huge, big, white fiberglass boats parked in Sydney Harbour, but there's much more than that.
Of course there is.
Out of all the boats across the country, and there are something like, we estimate about 5 million people across Australia get out of the water in some form of boat. The vast majority of them, Trevor, are little aluminium runabouts, the Kinney.
Well, you know, and we're talking about COVID-19 and what it's done globally to the world in all facets, all industries and what have you. But if you talk about boating, it's also a form of entertainment. Let's look at that. Yeah, and good for the individual's mind in regard to, yeah, the abnormal circumstances that we live in.
You're spot on, because the not only is there a good number of people across the country, we work it out about 20% of the Australians get out on the water in some form, whether it's a canoe or a kayak, right through to a bigger boat that can go offshore. But the mental and physical health benefits have, those people who do it, think about it, know it. But over the last couple of years, Trevor, there has been scientific work done in around different parts, and they've actually proven now that they can measure it. They can measure the mental health benefits of simply getting out on a boat, and it could be any sort of boat.
Yes.
Out on the water, beside the water, in the water, under the water. Just the simple pleasure of getting out around the water is literally good for you. And as a friend of mine says, he describes it as water is medicine. And
yes,
I think he's pretty spot on.
Exactly. And when you look at Australia being the biggest island on the planet, water all around us, we need to act on it,
Well, no, you're completely right. Yeah, we're a big island, water all around us, and we've got some of the most magnificent inland waters, though.
Whether we do.
The big rivers, and places like the East Coast, especially a place like a state like New South Wales, but, from that Tweed Heads area down, the big rivers on that coast are just awesome.
Yes.
But we've got lakes and dams and estuaries and harbours and bays. And, and there are a whole host of world-class, absolutely spectacular waterways right around this whole coast, whether it's the up in the Gulf or the Kimberley or down the southwest, or the mighty Murray River and the
exactly.
inland rivers that feed.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, it's, no, and it's been doing it tough in some of those inland areas over yes. the last few years, but we've had a pretty challenging, what would it be, six or eight months between fire, flood, and now a pandemic. It's been pretty, been challenging for everybody, in no matter where you come from or what part of Australia you're in.
Mm.
It's been some hard yards for sure.
All uphill, and look, a fantastic relaxation of restrictions. But at the same time, Brother Neil, we need to not be complacent in regard to the virus. It's still with us.
Well, yeah. So even though a state like New South Wales came out last week and lifted a restriction, so they now join all other states and territories around the country to allow boating people to go out in boats.
Mm.
And like I say, it can go from a simple canoe or kayak through to the bigger boats, but you can go out with your family. And what's important, though, is to still observe those social distancing rules.
Yes, yes.
You know, if you're with your own family from your own house, it's no problems. It's just, you know, you can be as close as you are in the household. But if you're outside and you meet up with friends and what have you, you've got to observe that 1.5 metre rule. And they still have different totals in different states of
exactly.
how many people you can actually connect with. But, you know, if we do our level best to try and follow those rules and the trauma, the number of people getting an infection and heaven, you know, forbid the terrible loss of life.
Mm.
And I have to say, Australia has been lucky compared with some countries, haven't we?
Exactly.
But we'll continue to get those restrictions eased off and get back to what will be a normal life again. And you know, whether you're into fishing or paddling or sailing or whatever it happens to be, boating is very much part of the Australian lifestyle.
Exactly. We've got a beautiful, strong relationship with water, and very important.
Oh.
So, and we, like I said, we've got that vaccine for the virus, so we need to adhere to the rules and not be complacent, and because we don't want a second wave, pardon the punt, and we can roll on when normality, light at the end of the tunnel looks good.
Yeah, and I was Trevor, I was doing some work with Aboriginal people around Sydney about a year ago, and they're involved in the old pooling logo, the tribal warrior.
Yes,
and that led me to to do a bit of digging around, and there was a bark canoe project in New South Wales that was underway about 18 months ago.
Yes,
and I didn't realise how far back the bark canoes. I was digging around in the Australian Museum archives and found that there was evidence of bark canoes being built something like 7,000 or 8,000 years ago. So this country.
That's not too long ago, brother.
This country has, well, it's older than me, but this country's got
Uncle Neil.
This country's got a long history
of course,
of use of the water, whether it's for fishing, transport, or for other uses, and it's a good thing to acknowledge that as well, because
beautiful.
It's not just something that's happened in recent times. There's an enormous history there, and no wonder, right? You take some of those waterways, the Hawkesbury and all the rest of it, down near Jervis Bay and so on, just spectacular places to get out and enjoy the peace and quiet, and you can do it with your family and friends.
Exactly,
it's even better.
And, fantastic.
You're right. We're sort of heading towards the recovery from this. I suspect we've got a few more months to go.
Exactly. But as long as we adhere to the rules that are in place, that we can help flatten that curve completely, so to speak. Neil, great talking with you. Thank you very much for sharing. All the best to you and your team and your family. Stay safe, Brother Neil.
Yeah, likewise to you, Trevor. Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye.
A beautiful yarn there. Neil Patchett, his name is, General Manager, Policy and Advocacy, Boating Industry Association, and Restriction Boating back in New South Wales. So, look, doing their bits and slowly working towards normality. We still need to abide by the rules and laws in place. If you're outside New South Wales, whether it be Queensland or Western Australia, so all states and territories, listen to your government in regard to the Premier's, in regard to where we're sitting regarding those rules and restrictions. restrictions. But let's not make it laxy-daisy. And I always say I'd rather wait two more months than two more years. So have you say, Jan Armstrong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. That daily number here is 1-800-422-416. Jan with the ball, you are Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. And we're based at the Murray Radio Station here in Cairns, Far North Queensland, BBM 98.7 FM. Give me a call, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, too deadly. Wollamu, Wollamu, old man. That's Guju Guju here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, you mob, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your say and yarn up strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Yeah, we're living in a different world at the moment. No vaccine for the virus, COVID-19. Still abide by the rules. rules in regard to your state and your territory, and we will flatten out this curve. Don't forget Australian Government's National COVID-19 Helpline, 1-800-020-080. The number again, Australian Government National COVID-19 Helpline, 1-800-020-080. We are slowly getting back to normality, but we're not out of the woods, so to speak, in regard to the virus, no vaccine for the virus. And look, we'll take about probably another 18 months is what they're talking, 10 months, and then 8 months thereafter. So when they do find a vaccine, so you just need to abide by the rules, have patience, and be strong in your mind, and also in the physical sense as well. Don't be sitting at home just eating pizzas. Get out there and do something with your life. Too Deadly Mob, have your say. Yarn Up Song here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Like I said, Yarn Up with the Bully Run, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, and I'm live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Bit Media, 19.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. All right, Too Deadly, going to catch up a yarn now with beautiful Deadly brother, Mitch Tambo on the line. And look, he's recently released a new single called Love, following his iconic performance at the Firefight Australia with John Farnham, Olivia Newton-John and Queen's Brian May. On the line, brother Mitch, very good morning. How are you?
Yum, yum. I'm good, my brother. How are you?
Very good, my brother. Thank you for very much coming to the program. First of all, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yeah, Mitch Tambo here, proud Gomorrah man from northwest New South Wales, Tamworth, Moree, Boggabilla region. Is my countryman.
And Deadly footprint there, my brother. Look, you're kicking goals left, right and centre. You're loving the journey, I believe, brother, in regarding using music as your tool, as your vehicle, to tell our message, tell your message, and also entertain people of the world, yep?
Yeah, well, that's it. It's, you know, for me in particular, it's all about, you know, putting our culture out there, you know, to the world, and just letting everyone know that we're here and our culture's alive, it's well, it's living, it's breathing, and, you know, one of the best ways to do it is obviously through language and celebrating that part of our identity and belonging.
Now, that is Too Deadly, my brother. Now, you got a new single out called Love. Look, a powerful word in itself, four-letter word. Tell us about the single there and how you came about, brother.
Yeah, so look, Love's been written about coming off the back of being out on country, and I was there out on country for quite a bit there, and it's basically the reflection of that, you know, that for me, I believe that when I'm out on country is when my heart's broken open and my spirit's set free. And I think for all of us, just as human beings, we've got that place we go for that healing, you know. And for some people, it's as simple as maybe going to the footy with family or going for a walk along the beach, watching some waves rolling off the headland. But for me, it's being out on my country around that wee, that fire, having that ceremony and being a part of that revival of our lore, our culture. So, yeah, the start of the song, it depicts that as the cockatoos sing on sunset, the stars light the sky of ancient stories, lost in the dance of the fire, I'm at peace, but now I'm recounting being on country, so I can feel the whispers of the wind calling me back home. No, so yeah, beautiful. That's kind of what it depicts, and the second verse is basically about, you know, that healing, that freedom. So thunder sing, lightning dance, it's time for me to soar high like the eagle.
Powerful, brother, powerful. And your communication with your elders must be strong in regarding language and culture.
Yeah, 100%. Look, I work extensively with Aunty Bernadette Duncan out there in Boggabilla. We do heaps together in terms of language. She's an absolute wealth of knowledge and just a beautiful lady. And, yeah, we work heaps. And, yeah, it's been deadly just to, you know, receive video messages and messages from a lot of elders in my community and wider community.
And what about the young ones, brother? You become like an icon, a role model, so to speak. How do you take that on board, bro?
Yeah, look, I think it's just really about, you know, doing the best that we can. I don't really look at myself as a role model, just more or less a brother just doing his bit and just trying to play my role the best I can, you know, and if I encourage and empower others along the way, then, you know, even better.
Yeah, Too Deadly, my brother. And what about background family, brothers, sisters?
Say that again, sorry.
Your family, brother. Have you got any brothers, sisters? Where do you stem from? Where did you grow up, Mitch?
I grew up in Tamworth.
Yep.
Single mum there in Tamworth, and family behind me, like strong nan and pop. And, yeah, it's just a deadly community, Tamworth, in terms of, you know, culture, in terms of all that kind of stuff. It's really strong, and I was just really fortunate to grow up there and grow up around culture, family, and, you know, and all those, you know, platforms or foundations, I think, that create a a great sense of identity and belief and that sense of belonging.
Mm. And one of the songs I love you sing is the remake of Johnny Farnham's voice. Tell us how that came about, and you did get to perform with him on stage at the Firefight Australia. How'd that go, and how does he take on board with you singing his song in language?
Yeah, look, that came about throughout my journey on Australia's Got Talent, and I decided to do it because I resonated with you know, why he'd done it, and that was to combat against domestic violence. Okay. And that resonated with me, so I was like, I'm going to do it, but I need to do my own take and make it as authentic to me as possible. So then I decided to obviously do it in my language and extend the message a bit further, and that is, you know, we've got to honour and look after our women, but we also need to love and accept one another regardless of race, gender, religion, ethnicity, sexuality, that if we can come together and just love one another, we can create a much better, safe platform for our youth coming up.
Look, powerful message, and music is a beautiful platform to deliver messages to all people of the globe, and you're doing just that. And did Johnny Farnham was okay with it? Did he receive it okay? How's your relation with Johnny Farnham?
Yeah, look, we caught up for a good rehearsal before the Firefight concert, and Olivia Newton-John was there too, and yeah, he just grabbed me and gave me a big hug and thanked me for my take, and just said, you know, at the end of the rehearsal, this song's not mine, it's our song now, and thanked me a lot. So it was really great to receive that from him, and yeah, it was beautiful to rehearse with him and Olivia Newton-John, that just to see two icons and spend that time with them and just see how humble and truly loving they were towards me would be with me forever.
Well, those two icons can now tick off their bucket list that they performed with Mitch Tambo. There you go, bruh.
I'll let you say that one.
Too deadly, my brother. Listen, beautiful talking with you. Thank you very much for sharing. We're about to play your song, Love. Look, we're going to be jamming across the First Nation radio station across this country. We are big fans, and we are promoting you and the work that you do, my brother. So thank you very much for sharing. All the best. You stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, cuss.
Thanks very much, my brother. Big love, much love to all the mob out there listening. I really appreciate your support. Let's just keep getting around one another, uplifting one another.
Yeah, too deadly. Thank you, Mitch. Take care, brother. Beautiful yarn there, Mitch Tambo. Look, a very deadly, deadly singer. And he just released a new song, Love. I'm about to play that. But he was talking about his performance there at the Firefight Australia with Johnny Farnham, Olivia Newton-John and Queen's Brian May. So he is kicking goals in more ways than one, but strong to his people and strong to First Nation people across this country. So fantastic. He's just not a role model as such, but it is what it is. My brother Mitch, you are that. So too deadly. Have a listen, you mob. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say. 1-800-422-416 is the number you need to call if you want to have your say on National Talk Black. Yana with the Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, and we're coming to you live here from the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. Go across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Big shout out to your mob down there. And here's the daily track, Mitch Tambo, Love. Do enjoy.
Miri dora gunagala yela do te yo Maraya yela ke ta me gonga ya kababa na la mir gualenga mir mir gualenga nga Como le dije que mudé mi Yeah.
Folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Thing. When we play this game, yeah, it's a spiritual thing. 'Cause we don't need the money and we don't need the fame. We can get just as far as we want in this world.
Yes, a very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know, at BBM Bummer Group Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, bringing them home, final report of the National Inquiry into the separation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children from their families, a living document 23 years on. And we're talking about 23 years on and most bringing them home recommendations remain unimplemented. We're going to catch up a yarn now with the CEO of VACA, Professor Muriel Bamblett, AO. VACA is a Victorian Aboriginal Child Care Agency. On the line, I have Professor Muriel Bamblett. Sister Muriel, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Welcome, and thank you very much for having me on your radio station.
No, thank you for coming to the program there, my sister. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
Yeah, I've lived most of my life in Melbourne. I lived for a period of time in Brisbane and worked with Musgrave Park and people around that area. But my people are Yorta Yorta, Jajarung, Bunurong and Tungurong from Victoria. So I'm very proud of my heritage and where I come from.
Beautiful. A lovely footprint there, my sister. Now, we're talking about the bringing them home recommendations, and 23 years on, and you feel as though recommendations remain unimplemented?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think what's really disappointing is particularly did we learn anything out of the bring them home? So there were 54 recommendations, and at the time, you know, Mick Dodson and you know, heard the stories of stolen gents. They poured, and, you know, with great honesty and great integrity, they came forward and gave evidence. And when you look at, you know, stolen gents today, and you look at the testimony that they've, you know, made, but also if you listen to what they said and what we haven't learned from that, is that removal, we need to think about the impact of their removal on generations. I know that I work in child welfare, and I see every day, five and six generations on, we still haven't been able to break that cycle of removal.
Mm.
We still haven't been able to give back to those stolen gens the things that were stolen, and particularly around culture and heritage. Like, I can proudly say who I am, and I can go to my land and I can feel a connection. But a lot of those things were taken away from stolen gens. Many of them still don't know who they are, where they come from. And we have, at the moment, have a child protection system that still does that, that doesn't honour or understand that children need to know who they are, mm. need to be able to connect with their land, need to be able to feel their land and know their culture. You know, sadly, we don't have enough Aboriginal carers putting up their hands to become carers, so children are placed away from their families. But the really biggest issue is children don't stay within their families, and we haven't been able to do the work to keep children at home. So I know I put a lot on the table before you, but it just gives a bit of
Background, of course, and thank you very much for sharing. And, of course, here we are in the 21st century. Here we are in year 2020. COVID-19 is upon us. This just doesn't take away in regard to the work that has yet to be done in this space. And what I'm picking up is the government, academic-wise, political-wise, spiritually-wise, emotion-wise, physical-wise, they are not working towards closing the gap in this space, yes?
Yeah, look, and I mean, I think that they're all really sort of things that we do need to focus on, but I think we need to fight for what the stolen generations lost, and I think that's the story, and I, you know, like, we need to recognise them. I think, you know, this week is Reconciliation Week, but it's also to, you know, we have stolen gens, we have, you know, their issues. 26th of May every year, we acknowledge and we pay tribute, but at the moment, we've got also the Royal, the redress and the, you know, the Royal Commission into Institutional Sexual Abuse made recommendations around sexual abuse. The correlation between Aboriginal people being taken away and put in institutions and the numbers of, high numbers of Aboriginal people that experience sexual abuse, it's just criminal in this country. And so across our nation now, we have so many Aboriginal people that are claiming not only redress and reparations for being removed, but also redress and reparation for having been sexually abused at the hands of those that were supposed to protect, supposed to, you know, provide a better lifestyle. These supposed conditions that were supposed to be able to make, you know, have Aboriginal people assimilate into a white society, but it was a white society that actually did so much more damage mentally, physically, psychologically, but and spiritually. So, you know, like, people not knowing who you are, not having a connection to land, It would be, for me, the most criminal thing that anybody could do. It would set me up for a life of walking around in the dark and never being able to find my way out. I think it's tragic what happened with the stolen gems.
Look, a lot of work to be done by government across this country. When you look at Victoria, the state government announced in mid-March that it would create a redress scheme for the stolen generations, committing $10 million towards its setup and operations. Are you happy with the money coming to the table?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think it is timely to think of it you know, as a whole, a beginning of a package. I mean, clearly we're negotiating a treaty in Victoria, and so a lot of what is, you know, up for discussion is how do we actually address or have a treaty with stolen generations and making sure that... But also, how do we, you know, similar to the Uluru Statement from the Heart, how do we have a truth and justice, you know, commission or storytelling that tells the true story and honours the stolen generation? I think that last year we held a service for stolen gens, and one of the things that we did is that we took them on a journey and we took them and told them and gave them a story of how Victoria fought for who we are today, and the story of strugglers, and so Pastor Doug Nichols, William Cooper, John Patton, all of those people that have contributed to Victoria. But we talked about also all of the women that have contributed. And these are things that stolen gens don't know, don't know who our heroes, don't know how our people fought and what our people fought for. And so I think that it's important that stolen gens feel connected back to us, and that we honour them, that we have ceremonies, that we have activities to involve them. We have been able to welcome back them back into our community, not ostracise them because they don't know who they are. And I think it's really important that we constantly have bringing them home ceremonies for the stolen gens, because I think it's critical that they're returning from nowhere land and they're looking for their people.
And regarding, well, you being the CEO of VACA, Victorian Aboriginal Child Care Agency, you're also the chairperson of SNAKE. Can you give us a bit of background in SNAKE and the work that you're doing there, please, sister?
Yeah, look, I mean, at the moment we're obviously the chair, and so we're part of the coalition of peaks of Aboriginal organisations looking at closing the gap. But a lot of our work is we've got a national membership made up early year services. We've got a national membership made of Aboriginal child and family welfare organisations from across the nation. So it's what the membership brings to SNAKE is a knowledge of the sector. I've been with VACA now over 20 years. So it's about having SNAKE honour the voice of children, be able to come up with approaches and strategies to stop the removal of our children, but also in the early years making sure that children have access to really good education, early year services, whether they be through the multifunctional Aboriginal children's services or just Aboriginal early year services. So it's really critical that our children get the best start in life. And so every year on the 4th of August, we celebrate National Aboriginal Children's Day, and we celebrate the role of children and the importance of children. And so we all say our children are our future. But unless children are learned about their Aboriginal culture, unless they're strong in their culture, unless they know who they are, they hear their stories, and we've got to celebrate them.
Yes.
But I think, you know, like, I think we were also instrumental, SNAKE, in giving evidence to the when we had the national inquiry into the removal of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. And one of the very big reasons why SNAKE was set up is because of the high numbers of Aboriginal children that were going to the Aboriginal Legal Service, particularly here in Victoria, and presenting as not knowing who they were and wanting someone in the legal service to help them find their families. Now, I think, you know, it seems really, really sad when you hear about a child that walks out of a system and then has to come back to the Aboriginal community and say, please help me find my family.
Exactly. And by knowing their family and their roots, that's the strong foundation for their future, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, you imagine, we communicate like that. The first thing you say to me is, who's your mob and where are you
from? Exactly.
You imagine what it's like if you don't know that, you know? You're obviously Aboriginal. You feel it, you know it, you live it, you say it. But then as soon as someone asks you and you can't say, I don't...
And it's a sense of no man's land, you know, and a lost soul and a hurt spirit, yes?
Yeah, and it's something we, you know, we desperately try to give back. We all try, but... you know, like we have we have the Link Up program, so every day we're working with stolen gems, and so often a lot of the reunions now are to graveyards, so that, you know, stolen gems can meet their family for the first time. It's absolutely devastating. And the removal patterns, we have so many people in Victoria that were taken from all over Australia and put into Victoria, and all of their records stolen. So it's a tragic story when you keep hearing, you know, the stories of the stolen generation. But the fact that they keep getting up every morning and they keep fighting for, you know, who they are, and they're so appreciative of we, the Aboriginal community, for putting out a hand to welcome them home. So they don't ask for a lot, but, you know, and that's exactly why the reparations is really important. But it's just about having people understand they've been to war.
Exactly. You know, and Sister Meryl, when you hear statements from non-Indigenous Australian, if not government, look, it's in the past, need to build a bridge, move on. They're not understanding the personal, the emotion, the spiritual side of things, are they?
And look, they're not understanding the tragedy of it all. I mean, the prisons are full about people that have been had a history of removal, mental health, sexual abuse, family violence. A lot of these issues emanate from having been removed from country. We know that, and I always tell you all the time, you know, 80% of our families are doing well, and the families that are doing best are the ones that have got strong Aboriginal families around them. You know, I was very blessed to have a strong mother. I mean, she made me go to school, but, you know, we worked hard. We worked in the bean paddocks. We had to work every hour that we weren't at school. We had to work hard. But I was blessed because I had strong aunts and uncles and grandparents. They growled me all the time. They taught me.
Yes.
They taught me so many things. I always tell people about my grandmother. We used to go tomato picking, and we were mission wild bush kids, we were. And so after we did our tomato picking, she'd let us run in the bush, but she'd say, you make sure you're back before the shadows of the sun go into the ground, because that's when the doolagars come out. Well, you can bet your bottom dollar we were always back in camp by the time that sun
exactly came out. And we were taught by our professors, which were our elders. Yes.
That's right. Yeah, my grandmother terrified me. She was only 3 foot. So, you know, we lived by, but it was a respect.
Not tough love.
I wanted her admiration, I wanted her love, and I wanted her respect, because she was, you know, our matriarch. So,
and when the student's ready, teacher will arrive, and our elders were always our teachers.
Yeah, and I can look through my, you know, heritage and see such, you know, strength in my grandparents, my great-grandparents and all my lineage. And I can look at that and say how much, you know, they've contributed to the footprint of Victoria and who I am. And I know that. To not know that, I think, is the greatest tragedy for me.
Exactly. Look, a beautiful conversation. Thank you so very much for sharing. I think the message that we're putting across the table here on the airways is 23 years on from bringing them home, recommendations remain unimplemented. And that's the message we're putting out to government and Australia as a whole, yes?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the thing is that we need to learn from that. And so children that are in the current child protection system need to know who they are. They need to have their genealogy. They need to have Aboriginality. They need to have return to country. They need to have their parents back in their lives. And they need to feel a connection to our culture and to be able to change. Imagine, I have native title rights. I can go out and say, I'm a Dja Dja Wurrung and I have a right to, you know, access to my land, my country.
Exactly.
And so, and all the richness and now under a treaty, I'm able to claim all of those things as a traditional owner. Now, imagine if you've got no treaty, you don't know who you are, you can't claim your native title. The one thing that, you know, would give you grounding and be able to pursue your rights, but the stolen gems, many of them will never be able to.
Well, exactly. Well, we're talking a lost soul, a lost spirit on no man's land.
That's right, exactly. And it's not just about, I guess, the native title and land.
No.
It's all the things that come with it.
Exactly.
You know, if I know who I am, then I know my heritage, then I know the contributions, then I can feel the spirit of the land. And, you know, like, I often remember a story at this time that was told to me. I was on Yorta Yorta land one time, and I was with my elders, and we were in the car, and anyway, I said, oh, look at the whirlywinds out there. No, they're not the whirlywinds. They're our ancestors
yes.
dancing.
Speaking to and, you, dancing for you.
Mm. Yeah, mm. and I was like, it filled me with such a strength of, you know, proud.
Exactly.
So proud. And I thought to myself, I will never look at whirlywinds again as the same. And I was,
exactly,
you know,
exactly. And if the government and if Australia wants a better Australian, then, you know, give us what is owed to us regarding acknowledgement of our people, our land and what have you, and we can build a strong foundation moving forward with good spirit, you know, to make
yeah.
make you good, make the community good, make Australia good.
Yeah, look, and I mean, I agree. I mean, for an individual, for a person to feel that and have all that experience, I mean, we take it for granted. Every Aboriginal person, we take for granted our Aboriginality,
yes.
particularly when we know and we've been brought up. You know, I know that things were really hard. Both my mission people, my parents came from a mission. So, you know, Dad was born on Lake Tyres and Mum was raised on Cummeragunga Mission. My dad at 14, because he had fair skin, was put off the mission.
Mm.
He was the eldest of 14 children. It devastated my grandmother when my dad was put off the mission because he was the provider for the family. So imagine 14 being put off a mission because
exactly.
you had fair skin.
Exactly.
And so, you know, these are the things that our people put up with. But he always knew he had a family. He always knew he had relatives no matter where he went in Victoria because he had connections. And I think it's that, losing that, not knowing that. And you could, the stolen gents, their sense of, I can walk into a room full of Aboriginal people and not know if I'm related.
Exactly.
These could be my relatives. These
mm-hmm.
could be my... And I think that, you know, we don't want Aboriginal children growing up like that. That's why it's really important that we learn from the stolen gene. They've left us a footprint that says, learn from us. Don't let
exactly.
any institution, don't let any government do what it's doing to children, what it did to us.
Well, we've still got a lot more work to be done in this space.
Yep.
So very important. And our conversation here is another yep. iron in the fire regarding that fight. So thank you so very much, my sister, Professor Muriel Bamblett.
Yep.
All the best to you and your family and this world we're living in at the moment, COVID-19. Stay safe, my sister, and stay strong.
Yeah, we're in the middle of it down here. We're actually
yes.
trying to look at educationally, health, family violence, all those areas across to, you know, make sure we get out of this much better. So we're actually in Victoria looking at recovery now and starting to look at how do we make sure we bring our people through this. So we've seen some amazing things. Our people are resilient. Our people,
yes.
You know, have been getting together. We've done amazing things throughout this. No one will ever tell, you know, the great stories, but we have been amazing. COVID has, you know, built many of our people back up.
Mm.
It hasn't destroyed us. It's actually, we're used to living with it.
Yeah, used to it, exactly. Exactly.
We've been treated really badly all our life. This is just another thing.
No virus, you know, is going to stop us.
Yeah, it will never stop us. It's actually made us stronger. So,
it has.
You know.
Sister Muriel, thank you very much for your yarn, my sister. All the best to you.
Thank you.
And you take care and stay safe, my sister.
Yeah, thank you so much for putting it on your news and keeping us alive today. Thank you.
Lovely. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A beautiful yarn there with the CEO of VACA, and that's the Victorian Aboriginal Child Care Agency, the Professor Muriel Amblett, AO, Two Deadly Sister, also the chair of SNAKE, and working with many hats and working for her mob, for all First Australians around this deadly country, and operating there from Victoria, Two Deadly Mob. You can have your say here on your deadly program, National Talk Black. That deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Call that number, yarn with yours truly. The bally one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, a voice, a tool for our people, live from the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bama Bip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation, thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Too deadly.
1985, and I am in grade 3. I'm in love with a black kid, but he's just a kid to me. The teacher asked him what he wanted to be. He said he wanted to be a truckie. I couldn't believe it. Is this what I was gonna be? I was a hopeless romantic, and we were just meant to be. Our class went bush camping, me and my two best friends, me and a black girl and a white girl, but we were just girls then. And my boyfriend caught a sleeper lizard for us all to eat. Yeah, he said it was a golder. He said he got it just for me. R-S-B-C-T, they taught us how to spell respect. When we were in grade 3, we're always gonna get some things right, some things wrong. But for most of us grown-ups, that word can be a little bit too long, too long.
To Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Come that time when Murray got a sign off here, and thank you very much for your company. Your local mob, stay tuned. Trendy Travel will be taking you right through to 1 p.m. Queensland time with the special COVID-19 program. But National Talk Black, be back on the airway again tomorrow with that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Always do add to the conversation. You can always text us 045-714-0550 and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Otherwise, Mob, thank you very much. To Deadly, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. COVID-19 is still upon us. 1-800-422-416, number you need to call your local mob. Take care. Talk soon. Too deadly.